Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Long before he was pushing the boundaries on television's Politically Incorrect or hosting Real Time on HBO, Bill Maher was a stand-up comedian. He still does about 50 shows a year in venues all over the country. And he's coming to the Capital Center for the Arts in Concord next Saturday, October 5th, to share some of the biting wit that is made of one of the leading satirists in America today. Many love him, some hate him, especially conservatives, his frequent targets. Here he is calling out House Republicans who voted to slash the food stamp program and to defund Obamacare. This is from the opening monologue of last Friday evening's Real Time.
Oh, actually what they did was they passed a bill that funds the government if Obama repeals Obamacare and shows them his birth certificate and punches himself in the face and touches a dead squirrel. That's...
And Bill Maher is with us on the line from where? Someplace fabulous, I'm guessing, Bill.
Well, I think where I live is fabulous, but it's right in the middle of Los Angeles. Some people would think it was too smoggy, but we're doing better with that.
I guess so. You know, I watched one of your HBO specials. You're doing stand-up. You're not wearing a suit. There's no panel, really, to bounce things off, and you don't have your visual or video props. How is the stand-up experience different for you than doing the show?
Well, it's what I started with, and it's, by the way, what I'll end with. You know, everyone on TV does get thrown off at some point. I have no illusions. It's been a wonderful 20-year run. I can't believe it's been that long. But, you know, they chucked Johnny Carson off TV when he was 67 and the biggest star in TV. So I know it happens to everybody, and I'll just go back to stand-up full-time, which is what I started with. I enjoy it more than ever and more than anything because as much as I love a panel, there's nothing quite like just you and the audience. Mm-hmm. The show is a hybrid of laughter, we hope, and serious stuff that, you know, isn't necessarily funny. But stand-up has to be all about getting people to laugh. About serious subjects, yes. The subjects I cover are similar to the ones I'm interested in covering on the show. But it's only about, you know, where the punchlines really live.
Well, I wondered, watching you on Real Time, if this, you know, this dogged kind of aggressive pushback that you have against conservatives or any kind of ideologue, really, I wonder if that was kind of honed by stand-up. I mean, you must have to learn
totally.
To steal
oh, of
yourself,
course.
Right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's one reason I still do stand up. It's a great way to get out and see the country that I'm talking about. You know, if you're just sitting in one place in America and then you every week you're pontificating about America, it's kind of phony. I'm always amused when the Tea Party people say things like, I want my country back, because I wonder how much of the country have you really seen that you suppose you need to get back? Of course, they were saying that about 10 minutes after Obama got into office, as if he had, you know, transformed this country into a Kenyan socialist kingdom right away. And if they did what I do and get out in America and see it every week, and I think they would find out it hasn't really gone anywhere. It's still the same Kentucky Fried place it's always been.
Here's a bit of you from your 2010 HBO special, Bill Maher, But I'm Not Wrong, answering the question asked since the financial crisis, where did all the money go?
I'll tell you where the money went. It never existed in the first place because America doesn't make anything anymore. That's a little secret about our economy. What have we made lately?
War.
And Snuggies. Right? That's what we make, bullshit Snuggies and ShamWows and Flobies and Bedazzlers.
You joke a lot about the kind of dumb things that Americans buy and do. That's often the topics of your New Rules segment.
Correct.
And that's one of the things that conservatives criticize you for, saying that you think Americans are stupid. What do you say?
Well, Americans are stupid. I mean, look, it's a big country, and there's room for everybody. And certainly within this nation of over 300 million people, there's a fabulous, smart, Western European-style country. It's just surrounded by a bunch of rednecks. You know, I mean, I can't help it that something like 60% of people believe in the Noah's Ark story, literally. I mean, that's a dumb place. But the great thing is that when, no matter where I go in America, and I go to the reddest of the red states, you could always find so many progressive intellectual people. And, of course, that's one reason why it's so much fun to go to red states, because they come out of the woodwork to see someone who thinks like them, which they don't often see. Christopher Hitchens used to tell me the same thing, that he would go and have a book reading in Alabama, and he would be shocked that, you know, thousands of atheists came out of the woodwork in Alabama. Richard Dawkins has told me the same thing. They're out there. They're just marbled into the population.
What are you guessing here in Concord, New Hampshire? Of course, you know, you cover New Hampshire in the first of the nation primary every 4 years. What's your guess about Concord?
Oh, I'm not worried about Concord. I worry. I'm going to Mississippi next year. That makes me worry a little. But no, I mean, New Hampshire's great. New Hampshire's New England. I mean, you know, they can be a little flinty, but they're smart. Even their conservative politics, I don't find to be off-putting. It's not, you know, sometimes they compare the New Hampshire primary because it comes right on the heels of the Iowa caucus.
Uh-huh.
The Iowa caucus is dominated by evangelical knuckle-draggers. That's not New Hampshire.
You know, you managed to insult a lot of people. You must get a lot of good hate mail, that's what I'm guessing.
Well, there's no more mail.
Okay, I mean, you know, hate messaging.
Well, that's interesting you bring that up, because the editorial, what we call the editorial, it's the last new rule on our show, the last monologue I do on Friday night, was all about Twitter and the hate that's out there on Twitter. One point I made in it was, I used to think it was just me because I'm so controversial, and I understood that. But it's not just me. It's everybody. And it's funny, after I read it and the show was over, I was talking with Billy Crystal, who was there, Joy Behar, and Chris Hayes, and we all said the same thing. We used to like to read our Twitter feed, or at least we tried, but it's just so full of people who just seem to have nothing to do but offer their hate. And, of course, parts of the editorial that I think the audience found most amusing was when I read the ones where I was saying, I understand why they hate me with my controversy, but why Jonah Hill? And then I would read this just horrible diatribe against lovable, kind, funny Jonah Hill. Why hate him?
Why the Cheesecake Factory?
And that Cheesecake Factory. I mean, come on. And it is. I think it's a legitimate question for a bigger intellectual than I to answer for real. What is causing all the hate?
Well, let's hear a little bit more from last week's show. Here you are talking about the new Pope, Francis.
He's only been in office a few months. First it was atheists can get into heaven. Then it was I don't judge the gays. Then it was we're thinking about letting the priest marry. This week he said we should not here in the Catholic Church be obsessed about abortion or gay marriage or contraception. I know. And then he lit up a joint. And confirmed that he was dating Miley Cyrus. I mean, it's this guy. I am not exactly sure what this Pope wants, but I'm starting to fear it's my time slot.
So are you softening up on the Pope? Or are you on your way to being saved, Bill Maher?
I am about to be saved, correct. Look, I've always loved this Pope, and it's funny because Chris Hayes was on Friday, and we were talking about the fact that we had something in common. Our fathers both were huge fans of the last liberal pope we have, which was Pope John, from 1958 to 1963. I was a toddler, but I do remember my father being so happy in that period because Irish-American. He had John Kennedy in the White House, a liberal Irish Democrat, and he had Pope Paul. He was a Catholic, of course, raised Catholic, in the Vatican, and that was the golden era. And when Pope John went away or died or got poisoned or whatever happened to him, and Pope Paul took over, my father didn't like him because he was conservative, and it was back to that old Catholic stodgy, let's emphasize the dogma and not the love. And finally, now we have another pope all these years later who is reminiscent of Pope John, who's all about, let's open the windows here and let some fresh air in. Now, I, of course, am not religious and would never consider being a Catholic again, but I think it's terrific for all the people who do follow religion and use it as a guide that there's a guy out there who's doing that and emphasizing the right things, because after all, Jesus Christ is a pretty terrific moral philosopher if you take away the bells and whistles and the magic act.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because your film, Religious, focused on one of your favorite whipping posts, is belief in God, you know, or religious fanaticism. It was one of the highest grossing documentary films ever made. But I wonder if there is a danger of being fanatic about atheism. I mean, if we consider that Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., all of those people had religious beliefs that drove them to be socially progressive. Here's a question from one of our listeners. Do you really believe that ridiculing deeply held personal beliefs and cultural traditions is an effective way to promote open-mindedness?
Yes, I do. And anyone who makes fun of religion is doing a public service. Sometimes people ask me in interviews, you know, what is the historical figure you most identify with? And I always say Toto from The Wizard of Oz, because he was the little dog who pulled back the curtain and revealed that, you know, the wizard was really just a guy with a microphone and a light show saying, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Obviously, religion has done good in the history of the world at times. Of course, it still does. I mean, Catholic Charities feed the poor, and I guess it does keep some people in mind. But, you know, I could go through the list of horrors that religion is also responsible for. The Crusades and the Inquisition and 9/11 was a faith-based initiative. And about half the wars the world has ever fought were over, you know, I know who the big guy is and you don't, and this is still going on. Why are they killing each other in Syria? Well, because they're from different sects, even though they're from the same religion. Why did they do it in Iraq? It's endless, the misery that this nonsense has caused the world. So on balance, you don't need it. You can do good works and be a moral person without believing in this childish Bronze Age myth. So why don't we do it that way?
We're speaking with Bill Maher, comedian, author, host of Real Time on Friday nights on HBO, and he's on his way to Concord. He's going to be there next Saturday at the Capital Center for the Arts on Saturday, October the 5th. A number of people, Bill, especially young people, or let's say in the young adult cohort, say that they get their news from comedy shows like yours specifically, like The Daily Show, The Colbert Report. Do you ever think of yourself as a news show or a news anchor?
No, I don't. But I do take my job seriously of trying to catch people up on what they may have missed in the news that week. We are on Friday night. And I've always seen our show as a kind of a that was the week that was kind of show. It is a wrap-up show, and I hear this from people all the time. You know, I have kids, I have two jobs, whatever. People are busy. They don't have time to cover the news and read it like I do because it's my business. They are doing their business. So I do very, very carefully try to make sure that in some form in the show, and we have a lot of different elements. We have two single interviews, we have a panel, we have new rules, we have monologue, we have that editorial at the end. Somewhere in one of those elements, I do want to hit the stories that I think are important and people should have become aware of during that week. So in that sense, there is some news anchor editing that I do. But, you know, look, people are not going to pay attention to any of it unless they're entertained.
You seem to pull out a lot of zingers, a lot of facts, a lot of things that people don't necessarily know about in the general public. So are you doing that work? Is your staff doing that work? Where do you get this from?
Absolutely, my staff. I couldn't begin to do this show without them. I mean, I'm never a good researcher. I'm a good editor, I think. But, yeah, they're great at finding stuff. And, of course, all you have to do is read, you know, a decent newspaper, and you know more than 95% of the people in the country because they don't read a newspaper at all. And there are a lot of stories, I feel, that people don't get caught up on because the normal media, the TV media, which is if they're going to watch news at all, that's where they're going to get it, they don't cover stories like that. I mean, I had on Nicholas Kristof a few months ago. And I said to him, you know, and he had a book about the basic genocide that goes on against women in the world today.
Yeah.
And he said more girls have been killed in the last 50 years just because they were girls than men were killed in all the battles of the 20th century. And I said, that is maybe the most eye-opening fact that I didn't know ever in the 20 years I've been doing this on television. Mm. So I'm always looking for that kind of information that people should know about. I mean, last week we talked about the Fukushima nuclear plant. with a scientist, because I don't think that information is getting to the public. I think people thought, oh, well, that was a couple of years ago, it was bad, but come on, they're Asians, they're good at math, they must have it under control. Well, they don't have it under control, and there's 300 tons of nuclear waste that's pouring into the Pacific Ocean every day, and it's going to come over here if it hasn't already. So that's very important to me, is to get to those stories that the media ignores.
It's a lot of work, but you're out on the road all the time. I'm curious about what sustains you. I mean, what keeps you going on what looks like a pretty punishing schedule?
Well, some people like punishing schedules. I mean, I've never been good with free time. I'm getting a little better at taking vacations now. I took one in August when we were off. But in general, that's what I enjoy. If I'm going to travel, I want there to be a show at the end of the plane ride. That's what makes the plane ride worth it, is that you go on stage and you make people laugh for a couple of hours. That's really what turns me on. So, and also I must say, when you're beginning as a comedian, it's so painful and rotten that now that it's great, I might as well redeem it.
Bill Maher, comedian, author, host of Real Time on Friday nights on HBO. Thank you so much
for
joining us.
Thank you so much. It was real fun.
Bill Maher will be at the Capitol Center for the Arts Saturday. That's October 5th. For links to more on the show and to Bill, and to see a montage of some of the best moments of Real Time, you can visit wordofmouthradio.org. Don't go away. There's more Word of Mouth coming up after the break.